love to have paper in front of me. I love to have pen in hand so you can jot down notes and stuff. It's a major comfort for me. And my lineup here that is printed, you know, that I could just look at on the computer, but it's printed out for me so I can make little notes and scribble stuff about your name and whatever.
Yes.
It's printed on paper, which has pictures on the back today. This is the first time I've ever seen this. So every time I flip the page, look what I get to look at here. Have you seen that out in the newsroom?
There is a photo of Matt Scooby in his pickleball getup.
With headband.
There are a few of these pictures of him that have been hanging in the newsroom over the course of this week. We believe that Steve Bunda is responsible for
this. Steve Bunda was in to help out this week. So
yeah, he's also been posting some very strange signs regarding completely made-up newsroom rules. Like, for example, no whistling in the studio at all times. That's one that I would like to enforce.
It's a pretty good rule.
Honestly.
Yeah, no cowbells. It's probably a good one in there.
Now you're giving him ideas, really. It's just like no running at any time, no slush puppies or snow cones. And the one that appeared this morning, it is forbidden to post signs about rules on the walls. So I like the approach to irony that they have on that one.
There you go. Isn't that ironic?
Yes.
You
think?
This is how you guys have toughened up in the last couple of decades. When we first moved into this building back in my first go-round here at Newstalk 580 CFRA, it was crazy to us that we were doing the news from the open newsroom instead of in the little audio booths that were all secluded and soundproofed. So there were big, massive signs everywhere and lights. You are walking into a on-air studio. You need to be silent. Someone could be on air at any time. You know, these signs that we were allowed to guest post on the wall at the time. Be quiet in case people are at work. And now you walk through there and you guys are focused. You're razor sharp focused, despite the fact that there is hullabaloo going on next to you.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of stuff happening in the newsroom at all times. Is that tough for your focus?
Well, what do you mean? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What was that?
You just tune it all out like a teenager. That's very impressive. Anyway, Matt Scooby looking a bit like a teenager in the pickleball gear here. I would say this is not the best picture of him in the Faces magazine. There's a couple where he actually looks really cerebral, a little bit misleading maybe, but
wow.
This one is more the real Scooby.
Wow.
Right here. We're going to talk about Scooby when we talk about Heat coming up in just a moment as we get into our Big Five.
Big news.
Even bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at work. Big Five stories.
John Krupe joins us as well from our CTV Ottawa newsroom. You were worried I was going to talk about you this morning, John, but instead I went a completely different direction.
Yeah,
are you feeling relieved?
I decided to have no social interaction with you before this moment. So, yeah, so we're all good. Good to go.
This is all because I told that little story about the escalator the other day.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
Now you're going to force me to bring it up.
Wow, that was days ago now.
John Krupe being so helpful, racing down an up escalator to help me out. And
you
all he gets as reward is...
You don't have to sit beside her all day, Chris.
Me making fun of him. Oh, my goodness. Okay, can we talk a little bit about the Heat? And let's hear from CTV's Natalie Van Roy, who was on this story yesterday, before we talk about what worked, what didn't work, and talking about the Heat.
Avoid activities during peak times for the sun. Stay in the shade, wear light clothing, use sunscreen, wear sunglasses and a hat outside, take water on outings, shut blinds and curtains, and keep windows shut as long as the outside temperature is hotter than the inside.
Okay, she sounds like she knows what she's talking about there. Then it all went awry yesterday because she and Matt Scooby decided to do this experiment to see if it was hot enough to actually fry an egg on a sewer grate. It was not. They just had messy egg. I guess it was a sizzling day yesterday, but it hasn't felt, and the heat warning continues today for the last day, but we haven't had that soupy humidity that we sometimes get in Ottawa where it's really, really thick and really, really muggy. So, well, it has been hot. I think it has still been a pleasant hot in my estimation, but I am willing to hear, Chris Holsky, your take on this.
Well, I actually listened to the failed experiment yesterday as I left a movie theater to get into a car that was absolutely scorching before the AC turned on. I had the radio on CFRA already, so I got the first few moments of the CTV Ottawa News at 6, and I heard the egg not fry on the grate, and I also heard a certain Patricia Bull talking about, oh, it's wonderful outside, while I was gasping for air with my window down, and I thought, Patricia, what is wrong with you?
Patricia, inside the air-conditioned studio, I love it hot. I spend most of my life exerting incredible energy trying to stay warm on cold days, so I love these kinds of temperatures. John Krupe, the experiment that I thought went much better yesterday was Matt Scooby running out to get gelato for himself, but was generous enough to offer to try to bring one back for me. And I'm like, oh, you'll never make it back in these temperatures with gelato. It doesn't have, you know, it's not solid, but he thought he could do it. He outran that heat and brought me a mushy, delicious bowl of gelato, which I proceeded to spill all over my work dress. But that was my fault. It was a warm one. How do you feel in these temperatures, John?
It looked like that the gelato looked like water by the time it got to your desk. We're going to follow today why the hydro went out in Kanata and Stittsville last night. Now, Hydro Ottawa's fleet explanation was the AC load. Now, I have never, now maybe I'm wrong, but I've never seen that explanation in the summertime except for massive failures province-wide or, you know, that huge blackout 20-some years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and find out why parts of Stittsville and Kanata were out last night. And what and then the social media, now this may be a red herring, saying, well, what happens when we get EV vehicles? What's going to happen to the grid then? So anyway, we're raising
a question worth asking.
It's worth asking.
So there was about 8,500 customers, is that right, that were out last night?
Yeah, at its peak. And somehow we were without any electricity, I believe, for a few hours. Some didn't get it back until 9:15 or later.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this typically something we've seen more often during heat on the Quebec side?
I don't know, but I'm wondering if the tornadoes and the is it pronounced derecho, by the way? Someone help me.
It's not a hard.
I've heard derecho again over the course of like the last week.
Are we going back?
Yeah, we might be going back. Yeah.
And remember how they had to rebuild Maryville's power station, and they had to, it was like a Band-Aid putting back the power system. I'm wondering, and we're going to ask the officials: is our system vulnerable to today's yesterday and today? I'm just asking.
Well, that's a good question. I want to see what the provincial power grid supply was like at the time of that outage. I have seen some things from even yesterday afternoon talking about how maybe only about half of the province's power supply was actually tapped during the time that it was at its hottest. But at the same time, though, if you do have people going home at 6 o'clock in a certain neighborhood and they turn everything on at the same time after doing the right thing and leaving it off when they're not home,
right,
then maybe something happens.
Yeah.
We've had hotter days.
Yeah, we certainly have had hotter days, and this coming so early, I don't know if that, you know, means anything or not. But I should qualify when I say I love the heat. I do realize that I am privileged to have air conditioning in the car and at home, which obviously makes a huge difference. Some people are coping with trying to sleep without air conditioning, which is always miserable and whatnot. So yeah, record-breaking day yesterday, though, just in terms of temperature, a 35-degree day, and warm already today. We're looking at, let me just refresh here. I think we're 26 degrees right now. So another one before this all breaks. Tomorrow looks super pleasant for all of you out there, both Saturday and Sunday, 23 degrees in the sunshine and even cooler on Sunday, room temperature when you're inside watching the CHEO telethon. Here's another question that we were asking yesterday, kind of about the heat. When we first started hearing that there were a lot of kids that had not gone to school yesterday, and thinking, well, maybe some parents were cautious because there was a heat warning situation, wanted to keep them home. But what we are hearing, and a lot of it is anecdotal, but we did hear confirmation from the school board yesterday that parents told the board that they were keeping kids home from school in some cases because it was June 1st and it was the start of Pride Month and there was concern there was going to be Pride activities. And they weren't sure whether they wanted their kids there to be involved in that. This is kind of a shocking thing to me in Ottawa. When I think of Pride, I just think of celebration, of letting everyone know out there. And it's so important with kids. It's so important in the early ages that there is a place for you, whatever you're feeling, however you identify as. And what kind of a message does this send if parents are in fact sending their kids home simply because it's the start of Pride Month, John Krupe?
Well, I think Bill Carroll nailed it this morning. I think when you're winning and you're going over the top on some of these events and you mix it in with news and it's mixed in with trans rights and the controversy in the States and all these, the York Catholic School Board, and then it's a package of negativity. And when we've made so many strides over the years, and then you throw that negativity against it, some parents make the decision. I think Bill nailed it this morning. When you're winning, tone it down.
Would you agree, Chris?
Not necessarily. And when hearing that news yesterday and seeing that story on Six, what I found out with most people, honestly, just incredibly disappointing. It's shocking from my point of view here.
Yeah.
This is what the board is going to have to do going forward, and all school boards. And I think this is crucial because this was something that Bill touched on as well. If somebody has a dispute with it, like, I don't think the right thing to do is to shut down the discussion. I don't think you can do that. But if you are the board, what you have to do is take the approach and the policy of saying, okay, this is why we do this, and stick with it and stick with it over and over again. Don't stop talking about it. Say why you're doing it. It's important that they communicate it above all else.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I feel like in the media, it's really hard. We've seen this with the Pride events for sports teams and whatnot. It's hard to sort of balance how much attention you focus on the event itself, how much you focus on the detractors. But yeah, the communication is the end game. We can all just sort of talk about what's going on here and hope that we find some common ground.
There's a lot of noise right now. I mean, you had like even the Toronto Blue Jay pitcher Bass, right? Remember? And did you see his apology? I mean, did you think that came from the heart? No. That's the kind of thing that's affecting people's views right now. That's the kind of story that's out right now. It's very negative, very negative.
Even if it didn't come from the heart, though, it's him recognizing under whatever pressure or duress maybe, but him recognizing that, in fact, he is part of an organization and that what he says as an individual reflects the face of that organization. And if that's an organization that is attempting to be inclusive and to invite everyone to be a part of what they're doing and their games, that he has to recognize that he cannot go out on a limb and, you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's going to be dropped.
And he should be if that's the case. Honestly, if you don't agree with the league policy, then don't sign a contract to play in the league. It's that simple.
It's like J.A. Morant, how do you pronounce his name, the basketball star with a gun. I mean, you know, there's no law against waving a gun in certain U.S. states, but he did it, and that's against NBA policy, so now he's going to pay the consequences.
By the way, I'm getting an official word on pronunciation, Derecho, Dereco. It's that big May storm from last year. That big May.
That's
long
good.
Weekend
yeah,
storm.
We'll go with that.
9:17 on News Talk 580 CFRA. We're going to get back to our Big Five in just a moment. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bull.
Bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five stories.
We've got almost 20,000 employees. So this is a handful of people. It's been identified and it's been dealt with. It shows taxpayers that when they make a complaint, that it's followed up and it's publicly followed up.
Publicly followed up. That's Alan Hubley at the City of Ottawa on this fraud and waste hotline, which was apparently very well used over the last year or so. Maybe not quite as much as in 2021. 301 tips in 2021, about 201 last year, and the city taking action on some of those. So I guess this works. Is it a fraud and waste hotline or is it a snitch line? I don't know how you characterize it. Chris Holsky, if you were to call a snitch line about one of your fellow employees, say me, would you have anything to say?
Would I have anything to say?
Just call in and say.
It's like she really likes Diet Coke.
And she's lovely.
I suspect there may be some kind of like alternate supply from which she's accessing this Diet Coke.
I feel like John Krupe, it would be like she talks too much and, you know, she's always talking to us in the newsroom and she needs to get down at it, get to work. That would be the snitch thing. What do you think?
Yeah, and there's no Diet Coke left in the vending machine is part of that, too.
Yeah, that's me calling with that complaint.
I know. Listen, it's a $5 billion corporation. It's one of the biggest employers in Ottawa, and we have an auditor general at the city level, something that we didn't have when we started amalgamation. And, you know, for a corporation that size and for the number of complaints, it's, I'm no expert on HR, but seems to me that's pretty good number and pretty good response.
Yeah, so it's working. So you like having something like that in place.
Hey, we're all taxpayers, which means technically, you know, we're the bosses. It's publicly funded government. And taking a look at what was punished and for what, and the degree of punishment, I agree with the decisions that the city made. And the fact that it was only a few people, again, as Alan Hewley pointed out of a staff of about 20,000, is very encouraging, actually.
We are all taxpayers, and if we're not paying our taxes, then that's something you can call the snitch line about too, right? Yeah, okay, so everyone's in agreement. It works. That's fine. You don't have any issue with people sort of watching what you're doing as a fellow employee, and, you know, maybe the city takes action on some of these tips. Obviously, it's not automatic. They have to be investigated, and they are, and they do their proper report. So That all works. I wonder who's calling the city about this today.
These are city assets that are paid for by the taxpayer. To know that they're improperly used would obviously make some people feel uneasy. So I believe this process is important.
Okay, sorry. Were they talking about the sign? I wasn't sure if they were still talking about the.
I think that was the sign.
The fraud. Okay, there we go. We went out to Barrhaven yesterday to talk to people about these street signs that look a little bit different right now. This is something, again, you know, until things are pointed out to you, something's missing and you don't really realize it. I don't think I even noticed that we had the big O, the swirly O logo on our street signs here. I don't think I ever thought about it once. But then you point it out and then you put the two pictures side by side of the street signs that just went up without the O, apparently because of a printing error, next to the ones that have it. And you think, oh, yeah, the O is kind of nice, kind of adds a little something, lets you know you're in Ottawa. Now I'm going to think about it every time I look at the sign. A printing error, Chris Holsky, that somehow did not get caught before the signs were actually erected above you as you're driving down the street.
Well, at least the sign wasn't spelt wrong, right? I mean, I think that's your first concern.
There you go.
Whether or not the logo is there for Ottawa branding. I didn't notice this at all either. And we're talking about streets that I actually do go by. Until this was pointed out. But then as soon as somebody does mention it to you, you go, okay, yeah, it's missing. Glad it's getting fixed. But I'm not even necessarily sure it's a requirement that you really need to go out there and change the ones that have already been put out. You can save maybe a few cents, a couple bucks if you just leave them up as is, because I don't think you're missing much.
Yeah.
Chris, the swirling O is like the Coca-Cola logo. It's very dear to Ottawa's heart.
That sarcasm, John Krupe?
Well, you know, the swirling O, just to give you an example of how it's protected, in that same Auditor General's report, the Auditor General sent out a cease and desist letter to a company because they were using the swirling O in their, I think, in their letterhead or correspondence. So that's how far and how technical and how much the city has to protect its logo. Now, having said all that, I mean, the street sign is different, but It is the logo. It is the trademark logo. And I know a lot of people on social media are saying, well, what's the news in it? Well, the news is that you got to put up street signs and you got to use the trademark logo and you got to be consistent. And okay, it's going to cost money to take them down now. The other thing is I wanted to know if they were changing to no logo. I wanted to buy maybe Paul Anka Drive or Trump Avenue. You can buy signs in the good old days.
Mulder and Scully Avenue, that intersection for Next Files fan.
Yeah.
Paul Anka, big to your generation, I guess, John.
the funniest take that I've seen spinning out of this whole thing, and it harkens back to when the convoy is here, is the people are going, well, you have some people on Twitter and Facebook going, I'm glad it's gone because the Ottawa logo has a 666 in it, which is the number of the beast.
Chris Holsky, you've gone off on a tangent. Okay, we were talking about printing earlier and printing errors and the fact that I like to print on paper. I have something mislabeled on my paper here. So that clip we played you earlier, that was Wilson Lowe, Ottawa councillor, talking about the fraud and waste hotline. This, in fact, I think, is Barrhaven residents reacting to the sign issue.
I guess it doesn't have the same, like, personal flair as the older signs.
Oh, it's like that one right there? Oh, I see.
I think it looks whack. I like the old one.
Come to Ottawa and see the personal flair on our signs.
And come to Ottawa and perhaps find out at some point, Chris Holsky, you're going to leave to do the news headlines in just a moment. Will you be saying anything about the Ottawa Senators and a new ownership group? Or is it another Friday where we head into the weekend without an announcement about who will?
I feel like we are watching the chimneys at the Vatican at this point and what color smoke is going to come up.
Right. Are they just going to wait for the Stanley Cup final to play itself out? It starts tomorrow night.
They might, but Ottawa's already been waiting too long,
yeah,
honestly.
They got to get going on the off-season business. So hopefully this announcement comes down at some point today. John Krupe, we were saying yesterday, why did not we not create a pool and start betting on this when we had the chance? What do you think? Is it going to happen today?
Well, you two have to help me. Does Gary Bettman do a State of the Union address tomorrow?
Before the Stanley Cup?
Yeah. Does he do that usually?
He'll say something. Yeah. You think that might be when it happens?
Because the
on a Saturday, that's no good for any of us.
Well, no, the sports experts say that they want to get, if they do the sale, they want to get out of the way before he does that because he doesn't want to take 15 questions as to why Ottawa hasn't been sold. So maybe today.
All right. Fingers crossed. We'll be on it if it happens. Waiting since the bids went in a couple of weeks ago to find out who will be the next owner of the Ottawa Senators. A pleasure to talk to you, John Krupe, even though I wasn't making fun of you at all today. It was still fun to have you on.
The Sens will sell for $1 trillion. See ya.
Or $1.3 billion or so. 9:30 on Newstalk 580 CFRA. Chris Holsky has your news headlines. When we come back, we have a little theater chat for you on this Friday, heading into a beautiful weekend here in Ottawa. Stay with us. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bolt.
On the go, take Newstalk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull.
9:40 on Newstalk 580 CFRA. I don't want to talk about this too much because it seems to be such a difficult thing for us to talk about without some really, really heavy responses. But just quickly, on June 1st yesterday, and this issue of some kids being kept home from school because apparently it was the start of Pride Month, and someone is texting in saying one particular school tweeted out the Pride flag, and some of the responses that were after that that were just filled with hatred is just sort of shocking to look at online. Some people are a little more measured in their response. I want to read just a couple of texts here real quick before we go to some entertainment stuff. This one coming in. People often ask, why is there a Pride Day or a Pride Month? It's exactly because there's still hatred and constant backlash towards the GLBT community, as they describe it, until people from all over just realize that people want to be accepted and enjoy life. This will never end. Why is it that the heterosexual way of life is the only way of life? At the end of the day, let people be happy. Then Chris says, jamming a view down people's throats, regardless of that view, is not going to change someone's view. Be sure to ostracize, attack, and criticize people's religious views or parents who don't want their child suffocated while pushing acceptance and inclusion. Hypocrisy at its best. But I would say to you and to others who feel that way, this only seems to be an argument that applies to this particular situation. I think a lot of you would be appalled if you heard that parents were keeping their kids home because it was Black History Month or because there was something else that was happening in a school that was basically just sending a message that you are all welcome, that you are all safe here, and we are being inclusive for all of you. That's all that Pride Month is doing. That's all that that flag is doing, is saying you're welcome here, however you identify. It's not pushing any lifestyle on anyone. It's just saying you're welcome, in my view. And I think we all need to maybe, you know, lead with kindness a little bit on this. 9:42 on Newstalk 580 CFRA. Okay, we want to talk about this that is going to be at Meridian Theatres at Centerpoint starting tonight. A great new show, Something Rotten is the name of it. And Debbie Gibeau is here, director Orpheus Theatre's production of Something Rotten. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Patricia.
So can you tell me a little bit about this? Because some of us would have seen this at some point in the past. For some of us, this would be very new. What is this actually very old story about?
Well, it is actually a new-to-Ottawa musical. Something Rotten opened on Broadway in 2015 and ran for a couple of years to great acclaim and Tony Award nominations. But we're pleased to be bringing it to Ottawa audiences for the first time. And you're right, it is set in Renaissance England in 1595, which was Shakespeare's heyday. And so the musical tells the story of the Bottom Brothers, who are a couple of actors, writers, who are trying to compete with this larger-than-life character. And they come up with a pretty radical idea as to how to set the theater world on fire.
How long have you guys been working on this, putting this together?
We auditioned for the show in March, and so really we've had about 8 to 9 weeks of rehearsal.
And it's exhausting, right? Because you guys do these productions, you're doing a lot of other things at the same time. Exhausting but rewarding?
Absolutely. Our cast are all working people and students and whatnot, but they find their pleasure in taking part in musical theater in the evenings. And so, yes, we've had a pretty exhausting rehearsal schedule.
What is the best part of this show for you? What's the best moment that unfolds on stage?
I guess best moment for me is seeing the progress that everyone has made. We've got some veteran performers on stage who just tear up the stage, if you will. But we've also got a lot of new to the stage, some people who've never been on stage before, and they have worked so hard and they've progressed so much that you'd be hard pressed to pick who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been the rewarding part for me.
Yeah, that's lovely. And just really helping to nurture that love of theater for people that are kind of experiencing it almost for the first time.
Exactly. Yeah. We do have a cast of a true village, if you will, of London. Our age range goes from 15 to just a little over 70. So it's really nice to see some of the more seasoned performers working with the younger ones and seeing everybody enjoy themselves.
Yeah, there's not that many opportunities for that to happen where everyone is kind of equal but different up on stage and older people and younger people all working together on a project in that same way. That's kind of a very cool collaborative aspect to this whole thing. I was going to ask you about the age range for the audience. Would this be appropriate if you want to make it a family night and bring your kids?
I would say it's more geared towards adults because there are many allusions in the story to Shakespeare and to musical theater. It spoofs both. Now, younger children probably wouldn't get some of the double entendre jokes and whatnot. So I would say, 10 and above would be absolutely fine.
Okay, perfect. So for anyone who has not been to Centerpoint, has not experienced Meridian Theaters, it's a nice intimate way to see a play. It's big enough, but you do not have a bad seat in the house for sure. If people want to check this out, what do? Can they buy their tickets online?
Yes, they can buy through the Orpheus Musical Theatre website. There'll be a link to tickets there, or they can go directly to Meridian Theatres. Try to definitely buy from those two sites, because sometimes we have some third-party ones that come up if you just Google it, and they charge a whole lot more.
So, yeah, you don't want that. You want to make sure you have the real
exactly.
deal. Okay, yeah. And the money's going to the right people. All right, correct. Good stuff. Debbie, best of luck with it. I hope everything goes very well for opening night.
Thank you so much.
Debbie Gubo is director, Orpheus Theater's production of Something Rotten, which is on starting tonight and goes right through until June 11th. 9:47 on News Talk 580 CFRA. When we come back, another edition of Doors Open Ottawa. We'll tell you what that's all about in just a moment. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bowl.
Apple CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bowl on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
9:51 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Good Friday morning to you. Hope you're enjoying the heat out there on this gorgeous day. It is a warm one and will be warm through the afternoon. One more day under a heat warning before it all cools off into a very pleasant weekend. You're probably spending quite a bit of time outside this past week, whether you like the heat or not, out for a stroll, maybe out walking the dogs. You ever stroll downtown and walk by a particular building and think, I'd love to go inside there. I wonder what that building looks like on the inside. Well, this is your chance this weekend. This is Doors Open Ottawa once again this weekend, which is a chance for the city of Ottawa to, basically let you check out some of our architecture up close and get a little sense of our history by getting into some of these buildings. Emily O'Kane is on the line, event coordinator for Doors Open Ottawa. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
So what was the idea behind this originally? Had other cities done this? And then we thought this would be a cool thing to do here. Do you know how it all got started?
Yes. So the event itself actually started over in Europe, in London, about 40 years ago. Now, next year will be the 40th anniversary of the entirety of the event. And it was originally in Canada taken over by, or adopted, I should say, by Toronto. And it went over very, very well. And immediately it was kind of flagged as something that Ottawa should take part in as well, given our incredible history and heritage and some of the beautiful architecture we have.
Mm. And now I'm reading online that this is the 21st anniversary. I feel like I remember the first one, so I can't believe it's been going on that long. What are the most visited buildings? What are the buildings that people are kind of dying to get into each year?
Oh, yes. This year we have over 90 buildings participating. So we're getting back up to our pre-pandemic numbers, so we're very excited about that. But we have a few really popular destinations over the weekend. The CSS building is one that's very popular. It's a satellite communication station that was built by NATO and the Canadian Department of National Defense. Very popular because people love to go and they love to get a look up close at the large geodome that is on the roof of the building. And you also have an opportunity when you go visit to go and climb up a vintage antenna that NATO used to communicate with other countries during the Cold War. So a really rich history of the building and an opportunity to learn a lot about our involvement in, during the Cold War.
Like, are you harnessed in as you're climbing up the antenna?
I'm not too sure. I'll let everybody hear from themselves when they go visit.
It sounds like it's not for the faint of heart anyway, if you want to actually explore. One of the ones that we walk by all the time here because it's just a stone's throw from our station is the American Embassy, which is always very secure, of course. Is that a building that you can actually get into this weekend?
It is a building that you can get into. They are one of the buildings that require pre-registration. So at this point, the registration has closed,
okay.
But they participate every single year. So if you are interested in going to the U.S. Embassy and you want to put it on your list for next year, make sure you check out the Doors Open website about 2 weeks before the event, and you'll see the registration on there for it.
Pre-register because they do a little security clearance on you, or they just want to know numbers?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, both of those things.
Yeah, and what about other embassies?
Yes, we have a handful of other embassies. One that is very popular is the French Embassy in Canada, very popular destination every year. They also require registration, but it is still open. You still have a little bit of time today to register if you'd like. So visit ottawa.ca/doorsopen for that. And that is an Art Deco style building, which when it was built in the 30s was a really, really popular architectural style. And they'll be having some goodies shared over the weekend. If you register for Saturday, they'll have some baked goods available. And then if you register for Sunday, they will have Ottawa Cordon Bleu will be there to have some little French delicacies available for visitors.
I was going to say, as soon as you say French Embassy, I immediately start thinking about French cooking. If you're just walking through, it's not as much fun. So Sunday's the day and still a chance to register for that if you're interested.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. Any other buildings real quick?
We have a handful of new ones that are joining this year. One interesting new one is Elmwood School, which is an independent school for girls, and it's one of the oldest schools in the city. It actually started out as a farmhouse, and its current auditorium is what still stands of the old farmhouse from 1915. So a very rich history with that school, and not the look of the school is not necessarily what you might think of when you think of a school. It has a very beautiful, classic architectural style to it. And if you do go and visit on Saturday at 2 p.m., they will be having a talk with author, historian, and alumnus of the school, Janet Urin, about the history of the school.
Is it most often people who are architecture buffs that want to check out the buildings or people who have a certain connection to a particular building, or is there just a wide variety of reasons why people might want to get inside the doors of some of these spots?
Oh, a wide variety, certainly. I mean, it's a great opportunity for those who are architecture buffs or photography enthusiasts and want to have an opportunity to look into some of these buildings. But we have buildings that are steeped in arts history, and we have some religious centers that are involved. We have some health-centered buildings that are involved as well. So there's a little bit of something for everybody, depending on what your interest is. So definitely go and take a look at the full building participation list, and I'm sure you'll find something that's of interest to you.
All right. I'm sure there's a few people out there listening who are maybe thinking about whether you can get in there with a wheelchair to some of these older buildings, on crutches, that kind of thing. Are there accessibility options for most of these spots?
Yes, most of the locations do are fully accessible. If you look again on ottawa.ca/doorsopen at the full building list, we have all of the buildings listed on there with the amenity or with the outline of being fully accessible.
And there's a special shuttle service that's offered, right?
Yes, this year we are returning to the Doors Open Ottawa shuttle, which we're very excited about. So we have 8 stops centered around the downtown core, and we'll have 2 buses running throughout both Saturday and Sunday, starting at 9:30 in the morning and finishing at 4:30.
Okay, so can you just jump on whenever you want? And then for the buildings where you're not pre-registered, just drop into those buildings, or is there a set schedule that you kind of have to adhere to?
No, no schedule. You can hop on and hop off as you see fit, and it is completely free, and you can access it anytime in between those hours. And if you want to stay on for four stops, you can stay on for four stops. If you want to hop on and hop off, you are free to do that as well.
How many people do you expect to take part in this weekend?
Oh, we are hoping to return back to our pre-pandemic number. So normally the event would attract in between 100 and 130,000 people. So we're hoping to get back up to those numbers.
Wow. All right. So both Saturday and Sunday, best of luck with it. I hope it's very successful once again this year.
Oh, thank you so much. We're looking forward to it.
Emily O'Kane is the event coordinator for Doors Open Ottawa. So a chance to get inside some of these buildings that you've only seen from the outside if you've been curious. And I guess I have to register for the American Embassy for next year so I can have a chance to jump in there. Coming up to 10 o'clock here on News Talk 580 CFRA, how's this for service? So earlier this morning during our panel, Chris Holsky and John Krupe were bugging me about how if I was going to complain about anything at work, I'd be complaining about the vending machine being out of Diet Coke. Well, it's not out of Diet Coke. We were just joking. But I have a text from someone saying, I'm the owner-operator of your vending machine at George Street. Are you already sold out of Diet Coke? I thought I heard Patricia say this on the air. That's a way to get things done, right? So I'll let you know next time if that is in fact the case. Coming up to 10 o'clock here on News Talk 580 CFRA. When we come back, the French Open is well underway. We're going to check in on how the athletes are doing there. It's always a tough one for the big names playing on clay. But there are some Canadians that are still in this going into the third round action. So we are going to get an update on that coming up right after the news here on News Talk 580 CFRA. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bowl.
This is News Talk 580.